This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Indeed, here we are. What it do?
Ahoy, good sir.
Suh.
Suh, indeed. I like your little Rock Chalk shirt there.
Why is it little?
Well, it's Kansas football.
That are you belittling me? Belittling me?
Kansas football a little bit.
It's not Kansas football at all. It's Kansas basketball, you idiot.
Well, it's not basketball season.
Yes, it is.
Well, I guess it kind of is.
It always is there.
Come on, embrace Kansas football.
I tried.
You made the attempt. I guess it is basketball season. The NBA starts tonight.
Well.
When does the old Rock Chalk actually happen on the hard court?
1st of November.
Yeah. They're practicing, though. I mean, they're doing the...
Oh, they're practicing, Jerry.
They do the whole Midnight Madness
I read
thing.
The practice reports. You know, I got my sources there telling me everything that's going on.
Till the FBI probe comes in and shuts you down.
Wouldn't that have already happened?
Well, you read it, right? You saw the last report.
No, all I saw was Kansas, like a bunch of media, wanted to get the FBI's... Like, they filed the Freedom of Information Act thing. So they get all the info, and the FBI said, no,
look,
because it's under investigation.
Bottom line is, you're going down. There's only one school that Adidas gave more money to than Louisville, and that's Kansas.
You might be surprised.
You're going down.
My sources tell me you might be surprised by that.
Well, North Carolina managed to skate, so maybe Kansas just cheats better than Louisville does.
Perhaps they do.
I hope so.
Or perhaps they are the crown beacon of doing it the right way.
Moral integrity, because nothing shady has ever gone down.
Well, look.
In Kansas basketball.
Look at their football team.
That's true.
I mean, they ain't cheating.
Either that or they're not doing it very well.
They are clearly not cheating.
They should cheat more.
They don't cheat, dude.
No. Not in the heartland.
Nope.
No.
Not out there.
Not there.
Fans won't have it. Just like Mike won't be cheated upon by his beautiful wife.
Ever.
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 Ever. Ever. Ever.
Hey, this game's pretty good. This Yankees-Astros series is getting pretty intense.
Yeah, it is.
Because that game last night sucked.
Well, the football game ended up being pretty
the
good.
The game last night was amazing. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but like from an entertainment standpoint,
yeah, it was bogus.
They blew them out, but that's what they needed to do. So now, if you don't know, the Astros and Yankees are already back on the field.
Well, and if they get this one, it goes 2-2. I mean, they have done a really good job of shutting down the Houston bats. Although, even if it is 2-2, you still have to find a way to beat Verlander or Keuchel. So, you know, it just becomes a much more interesting series. I think this one has a chance to actually be a really good one. The Dodgers Cubbies, don't you kind of feel like that ends tonight?
Well, no, because it's only 2-0.
The Cubs are hitting like what, 167?
I mean, it can end.
Yeah. Well, for all intents and purposes, you know what I mean. Like I don't think that the Cubs are coming back in this. This feels 3-0 to me, and then, I don't know, maybe the Dodgers give up one. But
I think the Dodgers are winning it all.
I just don't think the Cubbies have it. One, the pitching staff isn't there, and you went to John Lester in a crucial moment. And like I said, they're hitting 167 in the postseason.
Yeah, but you know.
Rizzo and Bryant, who've carried that offense all year, they're hitting like 162.
But you know, back to the Astros-Yankees. You know, yes, it's tough beating McCullers and Verlander. However... You know, both of those games were 2-1.
Yeah.
I mean, those were tight. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. What did I say?
McCullers.
Yeah, Keuchel, he's pitching now.
Keuchel and Verlander.
Is what I meant. But those games were tight.
Yeah. The Astros aren't hitting. I mean, the Yankees pitching staff has done a great job of calming down those bats.
This is a good series.
But you still have to get over the hump on one of those two guys. And as Lynch was lamenting earlier, they just don't hit Keuchel ever. So maybe you get to Verlander, who has been arguably...
Let's win this game first before we start worrying about getting a win over one of those
two.
Okay?
Calm down over there. It's 0-0 in the third inning.
But yes, this series has piqued my attention. The Dodgers-Cubs, maybe the Cubbies get one and it gets more interesting.
Okay, well, hey, we have a lot to do today. We always say that. Well, actually, we don't. I try not to say that.
No, we try not to overhype.
I'm not going to lie to you.
No, there's some days
where it's like, we got nothing.
There isn't. You know, you're going to get a lot of grab ass.
So tune in to see what you could get. I mean, yeah, there could be anything. Today, there is a lot.
Well, yeah, we got NBA season starting. We got Major League postseason happening, Major League Baseball, and then maybe baseball to Portland. I don't know about you, but that's the most intriguing headline I've read in quite some time.
The great Mike Barrett is back.
Yes.
I have audio today.
Although Barrett won't talk to us, but he talked to you.
Yeah, I was texting with him
a
little bit. He didn't tell me anything, though. They're on the hush-hush.
Yeah, they're keeping everything buttoned up.
Yeah. It's
But this is the first time, honestly, in years that I've actually felt like there is, like, a chance. Like, normally when...
Well, you didn't think there was a chance with the last effort?
With the Expos?
Yeah.
No, I felt like that was 100% that was a pawn. Really? And then that's all it was.
I thought they had a chance. It's just in the end, they weren't going
to
get it.
No, but this one to me, and I'm trying not to get over my skis because we've been Charlie Brown on this so many times, but this one actually, I don't know, it feels a little different. And I'm allowing myself to hope. Not allowing my sports pants to get tight yet, but I'm allowing some hope to creep
here's
in.
So if you don't know, it's funny. It's so funny how this all played out. I text Barrett today, just like, hey, man, you came up on the show the other day. I hear your damn ads all over the station. You're on the station more than freaking Big Sook is. What's up? Where are you? What's going on? Let's play some golf. What the hell? And he's like, Rob, Rob. He finally gets back to me, you know, and it's like, sometimes he's like MIA. He won't respond.
Well, he's got secret conclaves that he's a part of, evidently.
I guess so. And so you know, he tells me what he's involved with, but I'm like, oh, okay, well, super hush-hush. I mean, he didn't tell me any details or anything. It's like, I respect that. Just, you know, come on when you can. And we've got a platform for you. We love the idea of Major League Baseball to Portland. You know, you got a friend in us and we'll talk to you soon. And then I get to work and Mike tells me, it's in the Oregonian. I'm like, well, Barrett, I just talked to you.
Well, I guess the Baseball America piece came out and that kind of, they kind of had to come out and talk. They had to make a statement.
Well, I don't know about you, but the Baseball America thing. I don't know. Who is that guy?
I don't know. I had never heard of him before. But he wrote a piece in Baseball America where he talked about the expansion effort and Major League Baseball and this whole realignment thing. And there was a lot of bizarre details. But in there, they talked about Portland, Portland and Montreal being the two expansion cities and kind of elaborated on it. So at that point, I guess the Portland group felt like they had to come out and make a statement.
Well, but he didn't really let... Okay, so in that Baseball America article, he says Major League Baseball is considering expansion to Montreal and Portland.
Yeah. They want to get to 32 teams.
And how many times have you read that? 8 million. So it's like, you know, if you really know the dynamics in Portland, you're probably thinking, that guy could have pulled that out of thin air. I don't know who this guy is, Baseball America guy. Well, then he writes, baseball in Portland has a viable ownership group. And you read that and go, wait a minute.
Huh?
Who? What? That's new. But then he doesn't expound upon it. So I guess this is what he was alluding to, but he doesn't say anything more. Then he goes into this convoluted thing about realignment, which I thought was like
rid of the American and National League and go into these.
Just whoa. Slow down. But I guess that prompted the group to want to come out. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been, you know, I've had this a few times from people around town and like in the last year. Hey, you hearing anything about Major League Baseball to Portland? And I said, no, I haven't heard a damn thing. But I guess there were whispers, and now that I put two and two together of some people coming up going, hey, have you been hearing anything about this? I never did, but they did. And so, you know, it's hard to keep these things secret. Apparently, they've done a pretty good job of keeping it under wraps. I don't know much of anything other than Mike Barrett is going to be kind of the front man for it.
Yeah, the Magic Johnson, if you will, of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah,
right? Or Derek Jeter in Miami. There's always a face of it. And Barrett's a guy with a ton of local connections and is respected by everybody. And I doubt that Mike Barrett is putting up a ton of money in this sort of thing. I don't think he rolls that way. But, you know, face of it and maybe the voice of it, if it does end up a shot. What?
Mike Barrett's got billions.
I don't think Mike.
What are you talking about?
I don't think Mike Barrett has hundreds of millions of dollars.
You just reported to Portland and Vancouver and anyone listening in Guam or whatever on the app that Mike Barrett is not a part of the ownership group.
I feel pretty confident.
You don't know that.
I feel pretty confident saying that Mike, no, what I said, he is not the money guy. And no.
Maybe he is.
No, I don't think so.
Hey, look at all these ads he does on the Fan. You know, that's lucrative.
He's got $800 million just burning a hole in his pocket.
Well,
I thought it was interesting when they talked about that they have financing able to go, because that to me has always been the biggest hurdle. We don't have a stadium here, and in order to get one built, I don't think you're going to get a bunch of public funding past the people of Portland. And to be honest with you, they shouldn't. You know me, how I feel about public financing stadiums. I think they're the biggest crook jobs in the world. So the fact that I read that, and if that is true, that they have financing in place, a privately financed stadium, that gets my sports pants tight.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, there's a long way to go. But I think the big thing is that, and we've said this all along, and Lynn Lashbrook's been kind of the only guy that's kind of been out there, you know, waving the pom-poms, like, let's do this. There needed to be exactly what it seems like is happening underground. That has, you know, that has to happen. Like, you have to lay. So when we sit here and talk 3 years ago about Major League Baseball expansion, it's not even on Major League Baseball's radar, really. Well, we said, but it doesn't matter. This is the time where you have to get your ducks in a row. There are so many things that you have to do in order to be in contention when the opportunity does pop up, that you got to start now. Well, it sounds like that piece of the puzzle they have, and they did start, and there is a group. And so who they are, don't know. Local, out of town, don't know. All we know is Mike Barrett is going to be a rallying guy, a community leader guy, which I think is a pretty good pick. And, you know, the previous regime, well, not regime, but the previous effort to get Major League Baseball to Portland, for those of you who were here and we were on the air during all of that, it was quite fragmented. I mean, you had like the Cantor group, who was separate from like David Kahn and what he was doing. And there was, and then Lashbrook was involved in that too. And it is too fragmented, right? You didn't really have like a, you know, sort of the guy on the ground in the community getting everybody going about it. And the guy that they tried to have do that was David Kahn, who was the exact opposite of that.
He was terrible.
Well, he's just a jerk who just didn't know how to get. It just horrible front man.
You couldn't come up with a better guy in this town than Mike Barrett, who is liked by everyone, is respected by everyone in the sporting community. I mean, I just think that that's a great pick to kind of be the voice, and you know he's comfortable in front of a camera. I think this is really exciting. I think it's intriguing. And they did say that, remember all those years ago, and this was something that Lashbrook kept talking about, they had that $150 million grant that was set aside by the state in order to help fund this. They said that that's still available. You know, where the other, I'm assuming you're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 to $800 million for a stadium, especially when you consider land and all that. So I don't know where the rest of that's coming from, but I at least from the brief little synopsis that you read, it didn't sound like there's, you know, they're going to be asking for public to say that they have financing in place. That isn't, to me, saying, yeah, we're going to go and we're going to ask the public to kick in $500 million, because I've always thought that is just a giant hurdle in this town to get people to vote on one of these stadium deals that you see like Atlanta and Texas do, which just end up being horrible for the taxpayers.
Well, we'll see. Sounds like they're serious. They've got some cash.
Yeah, and Major League Baseball wants to expand.
They do, and they want if they do two teams, they want one of them on the West Coast. Rob Manfred has said that.
And so, you start looking up and down the West Coast, and there's not a lot of real viable cities.
Well, and you also have two situations where you could get relocation too. So they, you know, there's a lot of movement back in the Major League Baseball offices, but Portland has a long way to go in order to get on the radar. But it sounds like they've been doing some of that groundwork. So that's where you're at. Other than that, who knows? I guess you'll have to wait and hear from the great Mike Barrett and his one and only primetime drop.
That's the bottom line, damn it.
It's the bottom line, damn it.
He should sign off on every press conference he does with that.
That's the bottom line,
damn it. That's the bottom line, damn it.
Because
Mike Barrett says so. Cold Stone Cold Steve Austin on us.
Well, maybe then, and this is just wishful thinking on my part, Well, one, Major League Baseball to Portland. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to let your mind wander, but it, because it's a glorious thought.
Oh.
But two, maybe it would render those damn Blazers back page news. Get what they deserve.
Well, they're coming tomorrow.
Oh, believe me, I know.
Get excited.
The season starts.
Rob has Nurk fever, in case you couldn't tell.
I do like Nurkic.
He's
very
excited.
Without Nurkic, I don't know what there is to be excited about. But since they got him, I like that guy, man. That guy's awesome.
I told you, you've got Nurk fever.
He's my dude.
I saw Rob. He doesn't wear it on air, but he's got his Nurkic jersey, and he's got one of those big Blazer foam fingers. It's a
whole
thing.
I have my Nurkic thong on right now. I'm going to wear.
Wouldn't that be something? Where's his face? The front of the back.
Which side is his face on?
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's on my butt.
It's on the whale tail,
is it?
It's
on my left cheek.
It's the Nurkic face.
All right. Well, let's get to going here. You can text the Bridgeport Beers text line, 55305. And then we'll talk a little Pac-12 football coming up. And, you know, it is the start of the NBA season tonight.
Yes.
Not tomorrow.
It goes down tonight. Now, tomorrow, the Blazers. So not everyone opens tonight.
You know what I want to talk about today? Is LeBron cheap, or is he getting an unfair shake?
Yeah, we have audio. And then did you see the article that he had today as well? So he's kind of making the big media headlines.
Yeah, well, we'll get to it all right. It's LeBron.
I thought both pieces, by the way, were the one they did on VP and then the magazine article. I thought they were both really interesting.
All right, it's 317 with Isaac and Suk on the Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's get to our Freshy poll question today. Freshy offers delicious meals from quality ingredients to energize people on the go. FRESHII.com. Today we are axing you the following at 1080thefan.com. You have to vote. We are monitoring you. So if you don't, we'll
punishment.
Know.
Yeah, we'll know.
We'll know.
We'll come for you.
I've been watching Narcos.
I love that show.
Have you watched season 3 yet?
I have not gotten into season 3. I'm still trying to get it over. I'm on...
You're on Game of Thrones.
I'm just finishing up season 4 of Game of Thrones, and so I've got 5, 6, and 7, and then I'll move on to season 3 of Narcos. Yeah.
Welcome to 2015.
But I can't, I know. The worst part about watching Game of Thrones, and I said this the other day, is I've got no one to be outraged with. Like, something happens, and I'm like, well, what the hell? And then I'd have no one to talk about because I'm years behind everybody.
Right.
But it's totally wrote me in.
You know, that raises a question. Is there a shelf life on these shows, even though they're good? Like, if you don't watch them by a certain time, you should probably just leave it alone.
See, there's a couple that are like that. We can discuss this in the club, but there's two or three shows that I want to start, but I feel like so much time has passed, I can't bring myself to do it. Like, my window has closed. But Game of Thrones, I feel like it's still...
Do you like it?
I love it.
Yeah, it's good, huh?
And I feel so bad. And I'll admit when I'm wrong, I mocked that thing for years. Damn it, it's good.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, how did you not know that? You're so stubborn. It's
if
there are so many people that are really into it, there's something to that.
That's not true, because I give you boy bands, and I give you the collective works of Bette Midler and lots of other things that are really popular.
What are you talking about? Bette Midler's great.
That are terrible. So I don't buy into that theory.
It doesn't have to be for you.
That a lot of people like it doesn't mean that it's good.
No, I didn't say it was good. I said there's something to it. It has to be for you. Not everything's for you.
I try.
But just because you don't like something doesn't mean it sucks or it's not good or nobody else likes it. That's what you do. You gotta stop with that crap.
I tried. I had seen Game of Thrones 2 or 3 episodes that were like standing alone, and it made no sense to me, and I thought it was stupid, and it bothered me, and everyone kept saying you had to watch it from the beginning, and I hate when people do qualifiers like that. But it really is true. You have to watch it from the beginning. And once you do, everything makes sense, and it's simply wonderful. And I've been very, very pleased with it.
Well, anyway, in Narcos, there is a guy who is kind of the enforcer guy.
Yeah.
In the Cali cartel. And I thought of him when I thought, if you don't vote on the poll question.
We're bringing him.
You don't want him coming your way.
No. Can I say that that's one of...
He's ruthless.
Well, I told you when I was little, like, I had a lot of irrational fears. Like, you think that things are going to play a bigger role in your life than they are. Like, you were afraid of, I don't know, like, scorpions or, like, quicksand was going to swallow you up. And you're an adult, and you're like, I'm never going to have to do with that. Mine as an adult is drug cartels. At no point in my life are drug cartels going to play a role in my life, but they terrify the living daylights out of me. That at some point, maybe I cross someone, I don't know, I get in a car wreck or something happens. I'm like, I'm traveling in Arizona and I run afoul of one of these. Drug cartels literally scare me more than anything else on the planet.
Well, then you should vote on the poll question.
I'm going to go vote right now.
And it is as follows. Will the Pac-12 get a team in this year's college football playoff? Yes, the Pac-12 champ will always go. Or no, they'll get passed over because the league isn't that strong this year. Hmm. Vote at 1080thefan.com.
That's tough.
You have to choose one. I'm going to say no.
I would say no because I don't think a team's going to go undefeated the rest of the way out. And I think they don't have to. They do have to.
Well, there's only three teams that could do it.
Washington State, Washington, USC.
Yeah.
And Washington State will lose again. Washington, it scares me a little bit because they're starting to get beat up. They lost their best corner. They lost their best tackle. That frightens me a little bit. And USC to me is just living on borrowed time. USC with a healthy quarterback, Utah would have already taken them down. So I think Notre Dame gets them.
Okay, but stop right there. Washington State's probably not going to make the college football playoff.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. So that leaves us with USC and Washington. Mm-hmm. Washington's offense sucks and they're getting banged up. USC, but they're the best chance because of the schedule.
Yeah.
USC looks mega inconsistent. However, they have dodged a few bullets, even though they've lost once. They're 5-1. But they play Notre Dame, and Notre Dame looks good. That game is going to be a college football playoff elimination.
Yes, because both have one loss. Notre Dame was a 1-point loss to now what, the number three team in the country, I believe, in Georgia, and USC has the narrow loss, to Washington State at the time. You know, who was a very good team, and I think it still is. It's just not the same as losing to Georgia. But you're right. This game up here with Notre Dame, and that is, I believe, it's this week.
So you could look at that one of two ways.
That's a playoff game.
Yeah, it is this week. You could look at that one of two ways. You could say, well, why is, USC is not doing themselves any favors by playing that game, because if they had a cupcake in there, just like Washington last year, if you have the one loss and win the Pac-12, you're likely going to the playoff. However, you could look at it the other way and say, well, the Pac-12 does not have the greatest perception this year. And so for USC to make it a win over Notre Dame would go a long way if they win the Pac-12 in getting them over the hump against teams from the Big 12 or some other teams from the Big 10 who could be in the mix, who aren't even conference champions, say, that are undefeated or...
Well, exactly, because here's my thing. Let's say you get a one-loss Pac-12 champ that is Washington or USC, and, some of the other teams on USC's schedule kind of fall off. And they just don't have a great body of work. Whereas we get Alabama and Georgia, if they go undefeated, play a close game in the SEC title game, could we see a scenario where a one-loss SEC team that didn't win but was right there, would they get in over a Pac-12?
There you go.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. What Washington and USC need is they need the rest of the Pac-12 to win. Like if you're Washington, you're at USC, you need Stanford to keep winning. You need Washington State to keep winning. You need Utah to keep winning other than when they play you, because you need as many quality wins as humanly possible. And then Washington or Washington State and USC, whoever, ends up playing in the Pac-12 title game, you need that to be like Colorado was last year. Remember Colorado, I think, was eighth in the country, right in that they were top 10 when Washington played them, and that win put them over the top. This needs to be, if the Pac-12 is going to get in, it needs to be a top 10 matchup in the Pac-12 title game. You can't have USC playing a 2 or a 3-loss Washington or Washington State team and give you that big kind of jump you need to maybe get over the hurdle and get into the college football playoff.
Well, there's no Pac-12 school in the top 10 right now.
No.
And we're halfway through the season.
A lot of football to be played, though.
There is, but there are also a lot of teams stacked up in there. Yeah. There's a lot of good teams out of the Big 12, which we did not have in years past. You know, if Oklahoma is back and TCU is undefeated and Oklahoma State's really good. And as we said, Notre Dame's back in the mix. So they're right now, even though we do have a lot of football to play, there does seem to be more teams than in years past at this stage of the game. It's pretty jumbled. So the Pac-12 has got its work cut out for them. Then, oh, by the way, the Pac-12's kind of beating each other up. It's going to be It's going to be dicey.
You know who could be the big kick in the nerds for everyone here from the Pac-12 is Stanford, right? Stanford already has two losses. And the way Stanford's playing right now, if they buzzsaw their way through everybody else, you know, that's the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah. Because who'd they lose to?
Stanford lost to San Diego State in a close one, and they lost. They got hammered by USC.
Oh, that's right. But if they had won that San Diego State game, they'd
be in it. But
be in it.
They have two losses. But you look at their schedule. They play Washington State, who's 15. They play Washington, who's 11, and they get Notre Dame at the end of the year to finish the thing off. So Stanford has a really good schedule. It's just that with two losses already, thanks for coming, you're done.
Well, it wouldn't be good for the Pac-12 if they don't make the playoff. That would do some damage. They would, in the eyes of some, be the new Big 12. Because, you know, if the Big 12 gets Oklahoma and Texas back on top over the next handful of years, yeah, they look a lot better, you know. And then the odd conference out is sort of the Pac-12.
A little bit.
Because there are five power conferences and there are only four spots in the college football playoff. That's you're fighting with the Big 12, and the Big 12 is getting better. And Pac-12, you know, I mean, I think it's quality. I'm not saying it's not quality, but the perception is that it's not, and that's a problem.
And this year, I don't know if you have an elite team in the Pac-12. I really don't.
Right, but it always
– year to year.
It is year to year, but it drives me crazy when, like, Arizona State jumps up and beats Washington, and Paul Feinbaum goes, oh, pff, they lost. If the equivalent of Arizona State in the SEC jumped up and beat Alabama,
yeah, Mississippi State,
he'd be like, "Oh, this is the deepest conference in the whole country."
Exactly.
But when it happens in the Pac-12, they're like, "Oh, it's a weak conference." Yeah. I hate that. Pac-12 is quality. It's just you're fighting a perception problem.
Yeah, it's as if Mississippi State or Kentucky or South Carolina is better than the middle of the road or bottom half teams in the Pac-12.
I thought Arizona State looked damn good beating Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, call me crazy, but I mean, they're not perfect, but they played a hell of a game.
Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, vote on our poll question. If you don't, you could be visited by a drug cartel. 1080thefan.com. Your thoughts. Major League Baseball to Portland group is boiling under the surface. You can text 55305, the Bridgeport Beers text line. We'll get to some of those, and then we'll talk about LeBron. Is he cheap, or is LeBron getting an unfair shake? Complete with audio. Next, here's Mike.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
So our old friend Mike Barrett's going to be rallying the troops for a Major League Baseball to Portland effort. That came out today. Text 55305, Bridgeport Beers text line. A lot of people asking about location possibilities. It's so hard to know, man. There's a lot of things that they could do. I mean, we all know the location possibilities from the last time.
Yeah.
But I don't know if any of those are in play. I do know that I've heard, and I told you I talked to Barrett. He did not tell me anything. This has not come from Barrett. I had heard, you know, a while back that there may be something more down I-5 that is a possibility, but
out of the city, like Wilsonville?
Yeah. Well,
like,
I don't know, but down I-5, yeah. So along I-5 there.
Well, originally we had what? The Memorial Coliseum, which doesn't appear to be going anywhere. They put money into renovating that. We had Lentz Park. We had the old post office.
Yeah.
Was there another one, or was it those?
There were a couple of others. You mentioned the Coliseum. But
yeah, I think those were the three that I remember off the top of my head.
Don't know, man. We just all speculation, but I would say that it's exciting to think about the fact that it sounds like maybe there is the first thing you got to do is you got to get people together who have a little bit of money.
Well, because what's the expansion fee? I'm assuming several hundred million dollars.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but the NHL one was, I think, $300 or $400 million. So I'm assuming baseball is probably closer to $1 billion than it is that.
But it's the biggest thing is, you know, there are a lot of hurdles, but the biggest thing is here, we're not going to, the people are not going to pony up for a stadium, right?
No.
So you've got to have somebody with deep pockets. We say that all along. You know, Phil Knight's not going to do it. You know, Merritt Paulson, you know, sort of dipped his toe in the water and got turned off and went the route of soccer. Who else is that guy? Well, I mean, there's a lot of money around here. It's not like Steve Patterson told us this a long time. It's not entrepreneurial money. It's not something that seems to be on the radar of all of our Richie Riches. Now, it sounds like, though, that there, whoever they are, who knows who they are, there is a group that has deep pockets. I don't know whether they're local. I would imagine they're not, because I just don't know if there's that kind of money here.
And I don't think sometimes people understand that the kind of money you're talking about here. You're talking about
probably a billion.
Well, I think you're you're north of that. I think the I'm trying to look it up, but my Lynch, will you look this up for me? Because my computer just froze on me. Will you look up and see what Major League Baseball expansion fee is? I'm guessing that that is, if I had to ballpark.
Well, I'm just saying stadium, $1 billion.
Well, I'm saying $600 or $700 million in an expansion fee. I'm guessing somewhere in that neighborhood. You're going to have a retractable roof. So let's go $1 billion on that stadium. I mean, I think you are looking at an ownership group here that's probably going to have to come up with somewhere north of $1.5 billion. And I'm with you. I don't know anyone around here that has that kind of money, but this may be one of those things where you get a couple local investors, maybe with a couple people, you know, either from out of the area or maybe it's an international thing.
It's just got to have the right people.
It's just a lot of money.
And look, the big thing is it sounds like they do have the right people and they're all on the same page. So that's the first step. Sounds like they got that. So then what do you do? Well, then you got to find land, which I imagine, I don't know, but I would imagine they're working on that. And then after that, then you got to get your governments on board and get everybody on the same page, right? Because there's always going to be people tugging against you. You got to get everybody, you got to get the public rallied, yep. And that's where Barrett comes in. You got to get all this stuff. And then after that, you then have to work with Major League Baseball to actually get a team. So it's heavy lifting. But that first part we just talked about, that has always been the biggest obstacle in Portland. And it sounds like, unless they're blowing smoke, it sounds like they've got that group together. So that's a big hurdle that they've already overcome.
And it's just, it goes to show you that it in a city like ours, how many of those hurdles exist that you don't have to jump over maybe in other markets. Like and I guess it's different because it's a standing team, but like when the Red Wings in Detroit built their new stadium, you know how much they bought their land for from the city? $1. It was one of those. Like,
well, it's like the city wants them to buy.
Yeah, the
right.
City wants them.
Like, yeah, this is great. Like, it's a partnership.
Here's $1. I don't know if Portland, is willing to give up a bunch of land and like here's a sweetheart of a deal on it. It's just that we've always believed that our city, that there's it's a more difficult environment to get these things passed, and it'll be interesting to see as this kind of moves along. How many of these hurdles have really been cleared and how have they, you know, it's not many stadiums get built without public money. And if you're going to do this, I'm assuming the vast majority of this has to be done without public money. I would love to know where that's coming from, because there's just not many ownership groups are willing to pony up close to $1 billion for their own stadium,
but
because they don't have to, because another city will do it for you.
It seems like that, but if they want to expand, that's a different animal. That's, you know, that's new ownership groups and that's different regions. And as Rob Manfred said, we need a team on the West Coast. Well, there aren't a lot of other options on the West Coast,
no,
are there?
We've looked at it.
So
Sacramento, Vancouver,
so
Portland.
That opens Portland back up. And again, it doesn't have to be a local group, just a group that's willing to come here and say, all right, let's set up shop here. This is a good idea. So, you know, long way to go, Jason. Long, long way to go.
I'm trying to find...
What are you looking for?
I'm trying to find...
The expansion number.
An expansion number.
I can't
number.
Find it anywhere. Yeah.
You're in the ballpark. It's $600 million.
Yeah.
It's probably $500 million.
Just before you ever...
It was $132 in 1998. $132 million.
Yeah, that's long gone.
Well, yeah.
The NFL is $500 million, right? So maybe it's not $500. Maybe it's $350 or $4 for... I mean, but, you know.
Is that what it is for the NFL?
I think it's $500 million, wasn't it?
Maybe we can find that. Maybe we can go off that. Because I think hockey was $3 or $4. So maybe we can try to... put that together and come up with an estimation there. Cause I mean, it's amazing that before you ever put a shovel in the ground or whatever, you get to pay a couple $100 million to go get a team.
Well, they get $150 million, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
From that.
From the there's a the state bill. Fund that's been there for a long, long time.
No, it's more than 500, Rob. That's the relocation fee. The Texans paid $700 million in 2002 as an expansion team. So,
ooh.
Yeah. So This may be closer to $1 billion to write a check just to get a team before you finance your own billion-dollar stadium.
The other obstacle here, and the Blazers are not going to be happy about this, and probably the Timbers are not going to be happy about this, because there just is not a lot of big corporate money for sponsorships. That's another problem. Not a lot of Fortune 500s, which is why DC was a slam dunk over Portland for the Expos. But if you have, like, that's one of those problems you can worry about later, right? It's like if you have a group that has deep pockets that really wants to get this done and is all working in the same direction, then that becomes less of an issue. You just have to have the guys. You have to have the people. And so on that note, that becomes less of an issue if you have a real big money ownership group. We just didn't think we had the big money ownership group, but it sounds like they might. Yeah. Isn't that exciting?
Code might.
Yeah, who knows?
We'll see.
Who knows? Well, I mean, I've long been a skeptic, not because I don't want it, but because I just know how the city works. I watched the first process, and it's like, man, I don't know. It's going to be hard to get a Major League Baseball team here. But some of the things that are coming out about this, it's hard not to kind of let your guard down a little bit and say, well, why am I such a skeptic?
It's an eyebrow raised a little bit, and you're like, oh, maybe.
Just takes good people, man.
It would be so awesome to have baseball here. I just think it would do so well here in the summer. It just, baseball is meant for the Pacific Northwest during those summer months.
Okay, LeBron, cheapskate? Yes, we know that.
Cheapest in the NBA, some say.
But is that fair? Next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the NBA opens tonight, and LeBron James is already a game-time decision, which I find hilarious. He rolled his ankle. I guess he's going to play, but he rolled his ankle a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Pulling a Shaq.
No, Shaq would have a surgery right around this time.
No, but it's the same idea. It's like, yeah. Look, it's a long season. I'm not really sure if I'm ready to play yet.
Yeah, LeBron doesn't give a rip about the first handful of games, or really, let's just say, the first three quarters of the NBA season.
Three quarters. How about the first 81?
Cares about the playoffs.
Playoffs? So it's LeBron and the Cavs hosting the Celtics.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving. And then Houston, Golden State. Now, LeBron has been kind of making the rounds. He and Dwayne Wade. Because mm-hmm. Wade now is on the Cavaliers and their buddies.
It's the super team if this was like 7 years ago.
Okay, where is... Oh, which one's which, Mike?
First one is the original thing that Dwayne Wade said, and the second one is LeBron responding.
So we're going to play Kelly Ripa audio.
Ooh, hot Kelly Ripa audio.
First time for everything.
Yeah, I don't know if we've ever done that before.
Here's Dwayne Wade with Kelly Ripa.
And who's the cheapest?
Oh, LeBron.
Wait, hold on. She asks, when you're on the road, who's the cheapest?
No.
And who's the cheapest?
Oh, LeBron.
Tipper?
No, he's an exact tipper, but he doesn't use his cell phone off the boat if it's no Wi-Fi.
If there's no Wi-Fi, he does not mess with data roaming.
No, this is no joke.
I feel like he needs to meet my husband.
I'm gonna send this text before I leave the boat because there ain't gonna be no Wi-Fi probably.
Like, doesn't take the phone because he's not assured of Wi-Fi.
We just rented a yacht.
Right.
You flew private here,
but no data roaming. That's where he draws the line.
Okay, so it's kind of hard to understand, but Dwayne Wade's wife is in there.
And by the way, did you notice that it took Dwayne Wade all of half a second to throw LeBron under the bus?
He didn't think about it.
No.
He was like, oh, it's LeBron.
Yeah, it's LeBron.
Well, so LeBron doesn't like data roaming charges.
No, so his point is that LeBron James will fly to, like, Miami on a private jet. They will rent a yacht, but LeBron will insist on sending text messages before they leave because he doesn't want to pay roaming charges when they're out in open water.
So then Scott Van Pelt had those guys on last night.
Yeah.
And I think that, is that what this is from? This is from something, another interview.
I think it's from something else, yeah.
Okay, and then they asked LeBron, well, are you really cheap? And here's what he said.
That is so falsely true. That is so falsely true.
That is so falsely true. He ain't using his phone if it ain't Wi-Fi.
No, it's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not turning on data roaming. I'm not buying no apps. I still got Pandora with commercials.
So he plays. I think this is wonderful. LeBron puts on his phone and puts on Pandora during practice.
Yeah.
Because Iman Shumpert chimed in. He was like, it's true. Like, we listen to. So he'll play music from his phone during practice, and the ads will pop up during practice.
So the best is this has made the rounds, and so Pandora reached out to him on Twitter and was like, LeBron, you want us to hook you up with like a premium account? We'll do it for free. And LeBron was like, yes. Yes, I do. So Pandora apparently is giving a guy worth $1 billion free access, which I think it's like $5 a month.
Yes. Is it $5? I don't know how much it is.
I think it's like $4.99.
Oh my God.
I have Spotify, which is kind of the same thing. Uh-huh. And I want to say
it's how much, like, is premium?
I want to say it's right around that. It's like $4 or $5 a month.
See, they call LeBron cheap, and he probably is. But
especially for the amount of money that he has.
Well, no question. But I think there's a difference between being cheap and just sort of being principled, right? And knowing what's worth it and what isn't. Like, who pays for data roaming? Look, I get that LeBron can afford that, but I don't think he's cheap for not paying that. Those, have you seen roaming charges?
No.
They're outrageous. Like, you ever traveled overseas? Like, when you went to Bali?
So if you
goof up and you make a mistake on there, you're getting hundreds of dollars of charges.
So we now have our cell phone carrier. It's free international. But before that, when we would travel someplace, when we got to the border,
it's no good.
We would tell everyone, cell phones get turned off. They go in airplane mode. At no point do they go on.
But LeBron can afford it. Like, to Mike's point, look, it's like, why does he care? But I just think just because you're rich doesn't mean you pay for everything no matter what, or you're cheap.
Okay, Pandora Plus is $4.99. Pandora Premium is $13.
Okay.
That's cheap.
And you don't get any ads.
No ads. That's cheap.
So he's cheap for that?
That's cheap.
Where do we draw the line? Is he cheap for the roaming thing?
Look, you're worth $1 billion. I want to always say that's cheap, but I get with the roaming that maybe that's principled. But the Pandora, the fact that you are at an NBA arena and you're practicing and you're forcing people to listen to the commercials, your ass is cheap. That's like Tiger Woods, I guess, is cheap. There's a difference between being principled and cheap. I'll give him a pass on the roaming. The stupid Pandora thing is cheap.
I don't know.
And this is why it's cheap, because now that
he doesn't buy apps. Do you buy apps?
No.
If you see an app cost money?
No, I'm right out.
I am too.
I won't pay for apps.
I never pay for apps.
I totally get where he's coming from.
Yes, I won't do that. But if I had $1 billion and there was an app that I wanted, yes, I think I'd be more inclined to buy it.
I don't know that. See, this is where I think we differ. I don't know that you would. I think you're the same whether you have $100 in your bank account or $1 billion in your bank account. This is my whole point. You don't change. Like, you always talk about Paul Allen and why he wears the garbage that he wears. He wears the same freaking jacket.
It's unbelievable.
It's horrible. It looks like he bought it at Goodwill.
It's all ill-fitting and wrinkly.
But it's the same guy before he had money, right? That's why. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to spend money on that. And LeBron, to me, I don't know that he's cheap. I just think he's got, I mean, well, he probably is cheap. But I think that, like, for example, Paul Allen, you could call him cheap for him not paying for anything. Right?
That's
true. He is so rich that if he doesn't, pick up the tab when he's like, does everybody expect Paul Allen to buy everything?
Probably.
And so if he doesn't, he's cheap.
That's an interesting point. I guess I hadn't thought about that, but
that's weak. And LeBron's the same.
There's a weird line though. Someone even says this, he's cheap for not having an unlimited data plan. You're LeBron effing James. You don't have unlimited data? I'm Jason Sukanik. I have unlimited data.
Wait. You can have unlimited data and you'll still get dinged with roaming.
I don't think you can. I don't have roaming charges.
Am I wrong about this, tech bros?
I know on our plan, one of the reasons I have it is that when we go international, I don't have to worry about that. I can use it anywhere. We use it in Taiwan. I used it in Mexico. I used it in Bali.
See, it's like,
how is LeBron James? You don't have that? You're LeBron James. I bet if LeBron James called up Verizon or T-Mobile or whoever he had and was like, hey, by the way, this is LeBron James, I want this for free, they'd be like, fine. Well, that's how he got Pandora.
Okay, but what if he thinks it's wasteful? Like, it's just a principled thing. It's not about money. He's like, dude, that's not worth it. I'm totally with him on
this. This guy's chiming in, Bridgeport Beer's text line, 55305. He says, yes, it's principled. He says, I make $500,000 a year, and he canceled DirecTV because they wouldn't replace his DVR for free.
There you go.
So he canceled it.
He's like, out.
There's a guy making $500,000 a year, and I'm guessing that DVR charge was probably like $30-$40, and he's like, no.
Exactly.
No.
It's the idea of what's worth it to you and what isn't, and that's different for everyone.
Hmm.
So LeBron may be cheap, but in this instance, I think he's getting a bad rap. He's getting an unfair shake.
I think the Pandora thing is really cheap. The other stuff I understand, but the Pandora thing, it's $5 or it's $12 a month, LeBron. That's cheap. But I love that he's owning it.
Yeah. He's like, I ain't paying for that.
And I love Dwayne. You flew here private. We rented a yacht. But you won't. No, I'm not.
That's good stuff. All right, let's get to the Jamboree. We'll hear from some coaches next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.